Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, I'm Joshua Lloyd, joined here by Coach Sylvia Giovere, and this is episode 6 of Heatwave. Sylvia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and yourself? Happy Sunday to everyone.
I'm doing fine. I think we might have actually got everything going as it should be when it comes to weather, because it is miserable outside right now in Maryland. It's been raining all day, all last night. It's just bad. Makes me feel like I'm in Seattle or something. How's the weather down in South Florida?
It's good. It's good. It's just been windy, which is great. We don't get the 90-degree weather anymore. That's a relief.
All right. And just a quick rundown of what we're going to go through tonight on today's episode. We're going to talk about where the Heat stand in the Eastern Conference, take a look at their upcoming schedule for the next week, and talk a little bit about the D-League and the key to the Heat's top-tier defense this season, Hassan Whiteside, specifically looking at what he does in rim protection. And, of course, we're going to have a trivia question. Can you name that Heat player? Hashtag Heatwave player of the day. Mm-hmm. In case you didn't figure out who it was last week, it was one Jason Williams, a.k.a. White Chocolate. Even though he isn't typically what we go for, what we've been going for in terms of length with the Heat, with the previous players, he's a guy who was his 40th birthday, so it's made perfect sense. But quick, the Heat are currently third in the Eastern Conference with a 10-5 record. When I looked yesterday, they were tied with Indiana for the second-best record, but the Pacers had the tiebreaker. By virtue of winning the matchup earlier this season, the Heat are currently scoring 96.3 points per game, which is good for 26th in the league. They've got the second-best scoring defense, allowing 19.7 points per game. They play at the 26th slowest pace in the league, and they've got an offensive rating of 20 and a defensive rating of 3. They're the 20th ranked team in terms of offensive rating and third in defensive rating, and they are first place in the Atlantic Division. And looking at the injury report, Lil Bang is listed as questionable for the game on Monday against the Boston Celtics with the hamstring that kept him out of a couple of games this week. And Amari Stoudemire is questionable for Monday with an illness, which is why he was inactive the past three games. Sylvia, you got anything to add to those numbers?
Well, we have the best shot blocker with 4.3 blocks per game with Hassan Whiteside, which is going to be huge for the upcoming game this week.
Oh, yeah, and we'll talk about that a little more later because Whiteside's just been an absolute beast on defense. It's absurd when you see what he's been doing.
Right.
That's the only way I can describe it. But, yeah, that's how the Heat have been doing. They have won their last handful of games. Just give me 1 second and I will have exactly what their record over the past week was up for everyone to see.
No problem.
The team went 2-1 over the last week, losing their game to Detroit, but winning both games against the New York Knickerbockers.
Right.
And the upcoming schedule, as I said, on Monday, November 30th, we will be hosting the Boston Celtics. On Thursday, 3rd, the Oklahoma City Thunder come to town. And on Saturday, December 5th, the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James are going to be back in South Beach. Now, just to give you a quick look at the teams who we will be facing this upcoming week. The Bucks are currently 9-7. They're tied for 7th place in the Eastern Conference with Sharp. This is as of yesterday. They are averaging 102.5 points per game, good for 9th in the league.
Right.
They've got a pretty good score in defense, 96.9, 7th. They play at the 5th quickest pace. They've got an offensive rating of 15, they rank 15th in terms of offensive rating, 4th in terms of defensive rating, and how basketball reference averages your point differential and your strength of schedule together. They are the 8th best team in the NBA, and they went 2-2 over the past week. Before we start getting into the nitty-gritty with this team, Silvio, what are your just overall thoughts of the Celtics and how they've done this season?
Well, they've done pretty good to be a 9-7 team who pretty much they don't have, like, I don't see a superstar except, you know, Isaiah Thomas, that he's pretty good. David Lee, which is a veteran in the game. Who else? Amir Johnson. But they don't have, like, a superstar that you can rely on every single game, so they rely on Thomas, which he has 21.2 points per game, which he's leading,
yeah.
You know, he's leading the team.
Isaiah Thomas, the NBA's answer to who's going to be the resident guy under 6 foot who makes every little kid go, yeah, see him on the court. But, yeah, like you're saying, they don't have a superstar, and that has to do with how their general manager, Danny Ainge, has approached team building. In the school of thought that, you know what, let me collect as many assets as I can get.
Right.
This way, either one, I'm going to have one of these young players develop into a superstar. And Marcus Smart, their point guard, he definitely is a top-flight defender, and if he can develop a consistent jump shot or three-point ball, he is somebody who you'll be thinking of in that as a player who could develop into a superstar. And he's like, if this team doesn't turn out to have a superstar, at least I've got a bunch of interesting young assets who I can trade for the next superstar who comes available, kind of like the package the Knicks gave the Nuggets back in 2010 when they traded for Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
Now, part of this assets building has put the Celtics in an interesting position. They made the playoffs last year for the first time after they broke up their big three when Ray Allen came to play for the Heat, and then the next year both Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce were traded to the Brooklyn Nets.
Right, yes, that is correct. They went to the Nets.
Yeah, well, the Nets trade has turned out to be one of the most one-sided trades in NBA history. So part of that trade involved the Nets giving up a bunch of future picks. And because of what they've done, and I'll talk about this a lot more later on when we come up to playing the Nets, they don't have a first-round pick until the year 2019.
Wow.
In fact, their first-round pick this year, unprotected, is going to the Boston Celtics for that trade. So the Celtics could legitimately end up with the first round pick, the first overall pick, and they still got this interesting young core that can make it to the playoffs. So it could be a number of years. It could be just 2-3 years before they're a true contending team for the Eastern Conference. But staying on point for today, they've got a couple of injuries they're dealing with this week. Marcus Smart, the point guard I mentioned earlier, is expected to miss another week with his injured knee. And Evan Turner is questionable for their game Sunday against the Magic. Well, today against the Magic, having injured his eye,
his left eye
on Friday night. Now, their upcoming schedule, tonight they play against they host the Orlando Magic before heading out on a road trip. They're going to, on Monday, November 30th, they're going to be down here in South Beach. And then on Thursday, they're going to travel out, December 3rd, they're going to travel out to Sacramento to face the Kings, Isaiah Thomas's original team. And on December 5th, they're going to be hosting the San Antonio Spurs. Now, as far as their team leaders go, Their leading scorer is Isaiah Thomas at 21.2 points. Jared Sullinger is their leading rebound man, averaging 9.4 a night. Isaiah Thomas is also the leader in assists with 5.9 per game and minutes played with 30.6, which is really impressive when you remember that he is the sixth man on the bench when the team is totally healthy.
Right.
Jay Crowder, who came over in the Rajon Rondo trade last year from Dallas, is leading the team in steals with 2.3. And Amir Johnson, a free agent signing from Toronto this year, is the team's leading block man with 1.1 a game. Anything else you want to talk about with those, Sylvia?
No, just let me see. David Lee is not very – he's not being very productive. I can see as the numbers here. His numbers went down on points. Then you see the rebound, 1.3 on offense, 2.7 on defense.
Yeah,
so
well, part of the thing.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you could tell that the younger players are just taking over, obviously. But David Lee has been affected in the past. You know, I'm very surprised. Maybe it's just his old age is getting to him at 32 years old.
Well, part of the thing with the asset building that the Celtics have done is they've got a logjam of players in the front court. Going off the top of my head, Tyler Zeller, who started some games for the Cavaliers before he was traded, is on their roster, along with Jonas Jerebko, Amir Johnson, David Lee, Jared Sullinger, and they sent Perry Jones and Jordan. They traded away Perry Jones this offseason and sent Jordan Mickey to the D League. So that's the type of depth they have in their front court. That is kind of
right.
It's the best problem to have in basketball that the Celtics have.
Right.
They've got
right.
Because they don't have a superstar, they've got lots of guys who can give them quality minutes. And Zach Lowe said, you don't know how good it is when a team can give you 48 minutes of quality basketball opposed to you've got stars who can play lights out for 30 minutes, but at that position you're struggling for the other 12 minutes, 18 minutes to find somebody who gives you at least something that is NBA league average. And that's kind of how the Celtics have been winning these games. Also, you've got to note that Brad Stevens, who college fans will know because he was the head coach at Butler for a number of years, took them to the national championship game, which they almost beat Duke. Championship game in 2010. I can't remember who they played in that game. But, yeah, he is one of the best young coaches in the NBA. He's taken a team that most people were expecting to last season to be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference and got them to the eighth seed and have them looking poised to make another playoff run this year. So kudos to him. And, yeah, that's really the skinny on this Celtics team. Next, we've got Thursday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're currently 11-6, which is good for third in the Western Conference. They are the second-best scoring team, averaging 109.4 points per game. Their scoring defense is less than ideal, allowing 102.8 points per game. That's 20th in the league.
Right.
They play at the seventh quickest pace. They have the second-best offensive rating and the 16th defensive rating. And their SRS is fifth in the league. And they've gone 4-0 over the last week.
Wow, incredible.
Now, everybody
yeah.
knows about this team. They're typically one of the title contenders when everybody's healthy. They've got two of the top 10 players in the league, and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Sylvia, what else do you think about this Thunder squad?
Well, they've always been an awesome, amazing offensive team, you know, as we can tell. 109.4 points per game, that's amazing. But they're not the best defensive team, as you can see here, 102.8. That's, you know, they've always been in the playoffs. They've been in the finals, you know, but with that type of defense, they're going to be in trouble once again. But, you know, they're always going to be there on offense, which is kudos to them, you know. They have one of the best backcourts, you know, Russell Westbrook. They have Kevin Durant. What else can you ask for, you know? But I'm a little concerned with their defense.
Yeah, their defense is actually surprising, especially when they've got some of the best defenders in the league. Andre Roberson, even though he's only in his second or third year, he's quickly becoming one of the premier perimeter defenders in the league. Granted, he struggles to find his way to get on court because the guy cannot hit the broadside of a barn with a blunderbuss. His shot is ugly. It is worse than my jump shot, okay? So defenders don't even bother guarding him. Serge Ibaka, and Steven Adams are two very good post defenders, but a lot of the problem with their defense comes from their pickup center and sixth man, Enes Kanter, who is known as the worst perimeter defender in the NBA.
Wow.
he is bad. He doesn't know defensive rotations. He's flat-footed. Sylvia, I don't care how patient you are. You would get mad at this kid. You would get mad if you coached a guy who gave his defensive effort, okay? You would get really mad. Might even pull a Bobby Knight and throw a chair in their direction.
Not to that extreme, but, yeah, I wouldn't have patience with that type of player. I would understand you're giving effort and you're giving your all, that's fine. But if you're not even – you're locked, first of all. You're not listening. You're not coachable. Yeah, you cannot have patience as a coach. Even as a teammate, I would assume.
Yeah, Enes Kanter was a midseason trade from Utah. And after he was traded, Utah went from having a middle-of-the-pack defense to the best defense in the league. So there's that. All right. Now, they've got one injury. Backup power forward Mitch McGarry is listed as questionable for their game Monday night against the Hawks with an ankle. And they only played two games this week, Monday versus the Hawks and Thursday at Miami. Team leaders are Kevin Durant in points with 28.7. He's also their leading minute man, but you've got to note that he's only played 11 games this season. He missed a handful with a sore hamstring. The leading rebound man, ironically, is Enes Kanter. He's decent on the defensive glass, but an absolute monster on the offensive glass. He's one of the best offensive rebounders. I put him and Tristan Thompson as one and two when it comes to that. Russell Westbrook is leading the team in both assists with 9.9 and steals with 2.5. He's definitely been listening and improving his game after being criticized a lot as the lone superstar for most of the season last year for the Thunder for being too much of a ball hog. He already has three triple-doubles this season, too, so you know he can do everything. And Serge Ibaka is leading the team in blocks with 2.5. And, of course, closing out this week's schedule are the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're a 12-4 record, best team in the Eastern Conference so far. They are averaging 103.9 points per game. That's the fifth-best scoring offense. And they're allowing 97.1 points per game. That's the eighth-best scoring defense. They actually play at a slower pace than the Heat, 28th in the league. They've got the third-best offensive rating, 13th defensive rating, and the fourth-best SRS. Like I said, that's the point differential average with strength of schedule taken into account. Now, they do have a couple of injuries. Both Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert aren't going to be playing this week at all, so we don't have to worry about them. Kyrie's still rehabbing from that broken knee suffered in the finals, and Iman Shumpert is going to be out at least another month with a sore wrist. Timofey Mozgov should be returning for them. He's questionable with a shoulder injury after straining one of the muscles there. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on this Cavalier squad?
Okay, first of all, thank God two of their key players are injured. You know, not wishing them bad, but that helps the Heat in some way. Let me see. Of course, they have LeBron, the second best player in the league, because now Stephen Curry is the number one. But still,
yes,
LeBron is
Curry with the pot.
Yep, which I'm happy. You know, you got LeBron. He's the best of the best. You know, he's great on defense. He's good. He's amazing on offense. Then they had Kevin Love with the second best scoring with 19 points per game. They have a good bench, as we saw in the first game that he played them. So this this is a team that we're going to have issues time and again and again and again. So we just, the Heat have to be on their A game.
Yeah.
For Saturday's
Fortunately,
game.
For the Heat, the Celtics, the Cavaliers have a busy week before they play against us. They played last night at the Brooklyn Nets. I haven't checked the score of that game. They played Tuesday at the Washington Wizards, Friday, December 4th, at the New Orleans Pelicans, and Saturday at the Heat. So we get them on the end of a back-to-back. That should give us a little bit of help because
right.
David Blatt is trying to save LeBron James. Even though he's only 30 years old, he's the oldest 30-year-old in NBA history. This is his 13th season. He's going to be turning 31 at the end of the month. And he's already started to have some back issues. He's already taken a cortisone back shot this season. So we'll see how he holds up on that back-to-back. And as far as team leaders, when it comes to points, LeBron James is leading the way, 25.6. He's also the leading assist man, steals and minutes, averaging 6.7 assists per night, 1.3 steals, and 36.5 minutes. Kevin Love is leading the team in rebounds with 12.1, and Timofey Mozgov is leading the team in blocks with 1 per night. All right, real quick before we move on to other topics, what do you think the Heat's outcome in each of these games are going to be?
What do they have to do?
Well, no. Who do you think wins each of these games against Boston, Oklahoma City, and Cleveland?
Oh, wow. That's going to be tough. Let me see. I'm going to give it for Monday's game. I'm going to give it to the Heat to win.
All right.
For the Oklahoma game, I'm going to give it to Oklahoma because they have an amazing, amazing offensive game, you know, and they're going to – I think they're just going to destroy the Heat on that part of the
yeah,
court.
Yeah, and what about Saturday hosting the Cavaliers?
Unfortunately, I think the Cavaliers are going to win this one because we always have issues with them. Even though we only play them one time this season so far, I think they're going to win it on Saturday.
Okay, I agree with you on the record, the Heat going 1-2 over the next week, but I disagree with the teams. I think that Boston gets the win. I really like their team. Brad Stevens throws out weird rotations, so they're hard to game plan against. I agree with you. The Thunder just have too much firepower
right.
For us to, unless something happens this week, I think they get a comfortable win. And Cleveland catching them on the end of a back-to-back, knowing LeBron isn't necessarily the juggernaut player he was last year, and also the fact that Chris Bosh can do things to make Kevin Love work on the defensive end and make him a little more tired when he's on offense. I think the Heat managed to break the losing streak then and pick up the W against the Eastern Conference rival.
I agree. It's going to be a tough week, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. Okay, now, real quick, we're going to give you an update on the Sioux Falls Skyforce, the D-League team. They are currently 4-2 with a 4-game winning streak. Their upcoming schedule has them playing the Delaware 87ers. That's the 76ers D-League squad, 2 times at home on December 4th and December 5th. And their team leaders are in points, Jarnell Stokes, who was assigned to Sioux Falls after being traded from Memphis, the trade that sent Mario Chalmers and James Ennis to the Grizzlies. He's been averaging 23 points in 3 games so far this season. Greg Winnington is leading the team in rebounds and steals, averaging 10.5 a night and 2.2 steals a night. He's also tied for leading the team in blocks with Keith Benson, who are each averaging 1.2 blocks a night. And DeAndre Liggins is leading the team in both assists and minutes with 6.3 assists a night and 40 minutes a night.
Awesome. They're doing awesome. I'm happy for
them. Yeah, and the way they're putting up numbers, I wouldn't be surprised if DeAndre Liggins, Greg Winnington, or Jarnell Stokes get the call up later during the season. And before we head out to the trivia section, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how the key to the dominant defense that the Heat have had this season, Hassan Whiteside, particularly his rim protection. We talked a little bit about this on the on one of the pregame shows this week. Which time was Stephanie on the pregame show with us this week, Sylvia? I can't remember.
I believe it was Wednesday.
Yeah. I threw out some numbers to you. Yeah, against the Detroit Pistons. I threw out some numbers to you about Hassan Whiteside's defensive prowess. Just to let you know, he has a league leader in block percentage, blocking 12.5% of shots. He's got a 5.7 plus defensive plus minus rating, averaging 8.3 defensive rebounds a game. He's got a league-leading defensive rating of 87, with 100 being average. Anything below that in terms of defensive rating is above average. He's leading the league in blocks with 4.8, and his opponents are only shooting 42.7% when he's within 5 feet of them. Sylvia, what do you just want to say real quick about Whiteside and his impact on defense?
What can I say that hasn't been said before? Well, you know, and like you said, he's leading the lead in blocks with 4.03 per game, which is amazing. He reminds me a little bit of, no, not a little bit, a lot about Zoe, Alonzo Mourning. He's just a monster with blocking, rebounding, just protecting the paint. He's going to be definitely a superstar in the future. And hopefully we see him in the All-Star weekend. In 2016.
Yeah, the way
he's
just playing,
amazing.
He's definitely going to be making a trip up to the T-Dot. Right. Just real quick, though, his defensive prowess can be a little two-sided, though. I actually looked at it, and opponents have a better offensive rating when he's on the court than off the court, and a little bit of that can be attributed to the fact that the guards play a little more aggressive when they've got Whiteside behind them. And sometimes that leads to them making bad assignments and leading to easy baskets because when Whiteside comes to cover for you, unless somebody's making the switch onto his man, that's an easy dump off to a two-handed dunk. So, yeah, that's just one thing I wanted to say. It's been great, but it isn't all roses with Whiteside and his rim protection. Real quick before we head out, we are going to hit you with the Heatwave trivia player. If you want to answer this and get shouted out on next week's episode, be sure to tweet at me, @JILORI_22, at Sylvia, at Coach Guevara, 205 GUEVARA, and at our station at 305 Sports and Life with the hashtag HeatWavePlayer. Again, hashtag HeatWavePlayer. And here are your hints. He was a member of one of the most iconic NCAA basketball teams never to win the title. He was part of the second unit for the 2012-2013 NBA championship teams, and after a 19-year career that had him play on 8 different NBA franchises, he hung it up in 2013 and has been a member of Miami's coaching staff ever since. And remember, use the hashtag HeatWavePlayer and tweet at Coach Guevara 205, at @JILORI_22, and at 305 Sports and Life to get a shout-out on next week's episode. All right, we'll be back with you on Monday at 6:30 for MSL Radio's Miami Heat pregame show. Sylvia, why don't you send us off?
All right, have a happy Sunday, everyone. Have a good evening.